attention, it calls for our attention on this Lord's Day, comes to us from the book of Genesis in the 9th chapter, where God says, I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember the covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of the flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last Monday, as several of us walked out from the LWML meeting, a pleasant surprise was there to greet our eyes. Amidst the dark clouds that were filling most of the sky, we found also an arc of beautiful colors painted there. And it took us only a moment, of course, to identify what we were seeing. Even my young children, of course, could have told you. Our mouths opened and we said, look, a rainbow. No doubt the arc of the rainbow was matched by an arc of glee upon each one of our faces. For rainbows seem to kind of have a way of pulling the corners of our mouth up until a smile is formed. You know, when we looked up that day at that rainbow, not a one of us, from oldest to youngest, was a bit afraid. Even though there were still dark clouds in the sky, I suppose that looking at them through that pristine prism that is a rainbow made them lose all of their terrible power. But how could a rainbow, anyways, bring anyone to fear, seeing that it is so gorgeous? In fact, it might even seem odd that I have mentioned it all, that we did not have fear when we looked at a rainbow. After all, who in their right mind fears a rainbow? Well, in our text today, where God places a rainbow in the sky, did you notice that as we read it, it never used the word rainbow once? No, the King James Version says that God placed his bow in the sky. Unless you think this is just one of those cases where the King James might use a word that we no longer use regularly, even the English Standard Version, which I just read to you, also uses the word bow, and it was written only a few years ago. So why do all these English translations use the word bow in the text, when you and I know that what Noah looked up at that day was a rainbow? Well, they use the word bow because the Hebrew word underneath those words that we read is used in every case except one other time in the Old Testament, not to speak about a rainbow placed in the sky, but is used instead to describe a bow that a warrior might pull, as in a bow and arrow. Yes, indeed, in ancient thought, the two things, bows and rainbows, were often thought of in relation to one another. You see, they didn't just look at rainbows as these beautiful things that appeared in the sky. No, they always considered rainbows in the context of when they occurred. The fact of the matter was that rainbows almost always appeared with storms. And in ancient thought, at least, storms were the most sure way to know that God, or the gods, depending on your religion, were angry. You see, the rumbling thunder signaled his anger. The bow placed in the sky was his weapon. And the lightning strikes that came from that sky were the arrows that he flung from that bow. As Noah stepped off the ark that day, I suppose the last thing he wanted to see was anything related to storms or to rain. You and I tire of rain after only a couple days. Noah had seen rain for 40 days and 40 nights, and the results of that rain for months after those days. I suppose just the lingering of the clouds that day up in the sky were to him a vivid reminder reminder of what had just happened, of the wrath of God that had just been unleashed. Oh, sure, Noah and his family graciously were saved, but they were it. Everything else upon the earth had been destroyed in God's wrath, that wrath that was caused by all the sin that had filled the earth. So I suppose that day, if God had not told Noah what the rainbow was about, Noah might well have been afraid of it, because he would have sensed it as God placing his bow in the sky with the possibility that another strike was imminent. But thanks be to God, Noah did not have to have those fears. No, God indeed explained to him exactly what that rainbow was about. Well, it certainly reminded people of the great act of God's wrath that had preceded it. The true purpose of that bow was to remind people that God was not about wrath, but about love and mercy. Luther said the following about the bow that God placed in the sky that day and continues to place in our sky from time to time. He said, "This sign should remind us to give thanks to God. For as often as the rainbow appears, it preaches to the entire world with a loud voice about the wrath which once moved God to destroy the whole world. It also gives comfort that we may have the conviction that God is kindly inclined towards us again and will never again make use of so horrible of a punishment. Thus it teaches us the fear of God and faith at the same time." Perhaps you and I, when we see a rainbow, need to do a little more thinking than we usually do. Because perhaps at first, if we listen to the scriptures, the rainbow perhaps should cause in us initially an impulse of fear. That kind of fear when the loud thunder claps as it rolls in on the storm. Yes, we must remember when we see a rainbow that indeed a rainbow always follows a storm, and once followed the greatest storm ever. And that storm that preceded that most important rainbow was not just a random event, but it was, as the insurance adjusters of our day like to call it, an act of God. Yes, this was an act that God sent with purpose. Indeed, that storm, the flood, was perhaps the greatest proof given in all the Bible that God was serious about sin. So when you and I in our day see a rainbow, it should also remind us of this fact. Because after all, if you were to try to explain to a kid what a rainbow is all about, wouldn't you quite naturally have to mention the flood? Well, we should do the same in our mind. We indeed should allow the rainbow to remind us of the fact that God is very serious about sin. And when we come to that realization, it should stop us, if not for a moment, in our tracks. For we must realize that if God simply gave us what we deserve, we would have long ago been pulled under the waters of God's wrath. That's not the end of the story. And that's certainly not ultimately the point of the rainbow. No, today we are met with the same truth that Noah was met with thousands of years ago. We are met with the truth that the bow was placed into the sky by God, not to be a sign that he might later wage more war with humanity. In fact, as several people have noted, the whole point of the rainbow was indeed that God would not wage such war. No, it was about God's great mercy and grace. It was God's great purpose put into a sign that said that he would no longer give us what we deserved, like he had done with those in the flood. No, ultimately God's wrath was reserved for a different day. It was reserved for a day when the clouds once again gathered over a place. But this time they gathered not over the entire world, but over a cross in a place called Calvary. For there on that Good Friday was God's wrath poured out in a more powerful way than even he had done in the flood. For there, rather than taking all of his wrath and punishing the entire world, God took all of his wrath and placed it upon one man, a perfect man, our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that day, that Good Friday and the Easter morn that came after it, the rainbow to us no longer has to ultimately bring fear. While it might remind us of the flood, it is meant to instill in us faith. Because Jesus suffered the wrath of God, God is no longer forced by his justice to punish us, and instead simply goes about extending his mercy and grace to us in every way he can fathom. Pastor Larry McDermott of Plainville shared with me a poem that he wrote about rainbows not too long. It's actually on the insert that I gave you in the bulletin today. Pastor McDermott says this. He says, "At the font where water is poured, drops fall from the baby's head. Look close and you will see a rainbow of light as new birth in Christ is fed." Pastor McDermott was trying to get across is what the Bible tries to get across. That the promise that was given in the rainbow of grace and mercy is now delivered to you and to me, ultimately and first in our baptism. You see, the promise offered in the rainbow to Noah and his family is delivered to each one of us on that day. And then that rainbow of grace sort of dwells over us the rest of our Christian life. It becomes especially evident to our eyes when we do things like stand at the Lord's altar to receive his body and blood, or as we sit in the pews and hear that our sins are indeed gone. If you ask anyone, they will tell you that those are about wrath and about war, and that conversely, rainbows are about grace and about peace. Today in our text, and historically at the time of the flood, those two things were drawn together. While the bow placed in the sky was certainly connected to the flood of God's wrath, it was ultimately not placed there to cause fear, but to create fervent faith. When you and I see a rainbow in the sky, we don't have the benefit that Noah had of still seeing the floodwaters off in the distance. And so it's very easy for us to connect, or to forget to connect, the symbol of the rainbow with the flood in which it was given. Indeed, we need to teach ourselves, though, to make this connection. Even now, thousands of years after the event happened, for only when we realize that we deserve the flood but receive the rainbow can we truly in our hearts be as thankful to God as we should be. Only when we realize how deep our sin is does the forgiveness of Christ mean so much to us. Yes, we must place rainbows back in the original context of our text. For as we place rainbows back in that original context, then the rainbow in the sky will do what Luther said it was supposed to do. It will teach us both the fear of God and faith in God at the same time. And Luther was right when he said those two things are the greatest virtues that any human can learn. That we would learn of God's wrath against sin, but his great love and mercy and grace towards humanity. Yes, if we place it in our right context, we learn to view sin rightly. But even more importantly, we learn that because of Jesus and his death on the cross, we no longer have to fear that God might bring the full judgment of our sins upon us, but instead will give us his wondrous grace, that our troubled consciences might be brought to peace. For the rainbow ultimately proclaims that God is gracious and merciful, not giving to humanity what they deserve, but giving to them everything that they need. The rainbow stands as that reminder that you and I are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.